Why? Is that because I ate 2.5 pounds of lobster and 3 steaks? I'm tired of hearing the word execution. I'm tired of hearing it, Lee. You use that when you got nothing else to say. You use that instead of saying we're undisciplined. You use that instead of saying we're a dumb football team.
All of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. And why should you go to Bill Curry Ford? GM Sean Sullivan is going to tell you right now, BillCurryFord.com.
Listen, the year is ending, right? So your car is changing years. So if you have a 2020 F-150 right now and you don't do anything in this month, which is, by the way, the best time to ever do anything is end of year specials, and you wait till January 1st, your car is now going to be a year older in Black Book. Right now, it's 2 years old. It's about to be 3 years old. So right now, you get the best value on your car. And let me tell you something. I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea what the first quarter of next year is going to bring. But I can tell you that the trade prices aren't going up for sure. Prices, I can't guarantee if they're going up. I know interest rates are rising. Listen, guys, this is the very best time. We have rates as low as 2.9%. You're going to get all the money for your trade right now before it turns a year older. And you're still getting a lifetime warranty here at Bill Curry Ford. And all of our certified pre-owned vehicles, including domestics and non-domestics, which means if you would like a Toyota Tundra, let's just say a Dodge Ram, an Audi. We sold an Audi certified the other day, Grace. 133-point inspection, right, with a certified warranty from Ford Motor Company on an Audi. Yes, it is a new program, gold and blue certified. Check out the website, BillCurryFord.com.
Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side, BillCurryFord.com. Yeah, yeah. Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And the sage is Ira Kaufman. He is the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. And all the fun today, all the insight, all the whatever you want to call it, is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Shop right now at BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime powertrain warranty. And man, they have got offers all over the place, Ira. And there's so many. I just want people to go to BillCurryFord.com and start shopping. You can read about the $1,000 Amazon gift card that is going to every new Ford vehicle purchase. Financing as low as less than 1% on certified used vehicles. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's going to be there all next week. You can hit him up personally, demand the Ira Kaufman discount. But Bill Curry Ford, this is the time of year to buy a vehicle. It's not just a phrase. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, of course, you mentioned before the podcast, we were chatting a little bit. You can't wait to have a Kolsch. And of course, that is one of the many beers on tap at your Big Storm Brewery tap room. But you know what? This is the time of year for packaged goods, Ira. So if you want beer to bring to your Christmas party, bring to your family gathering, just be the cool guy, stocking up for New Year's, get out to a Big Storm Brewery tap room, Odessa, off State Road 54 on Success Drive. Find them online, Big Storm Odessa. You can find them on social media and at BigStormBrewery.com. Flagship location is in Clearwater. Beautiful outdoor covered patio where we watch games, 3,000 square feet, plus the indoor tap room. Great menu. All the Big Storm spirits are there. BigStormBrewery.com, also Amway Center and in Cape Coral. And we'll mention our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration later. Ira, I know you've got no mold in that garage because you're always sweeping that thing there, looking for old cans of soup or something, whatever you do in that garage of yours. But if you do find mold, you call Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Ira, I got to ask you a question. It's been burning on my mind, but I know your brother's not doing too well, but how are you?
I was worried. My brother left from California yesterday and he's going to the East Coast and he flew yesterday and we know how bad the travel was. And he got stuck in an airport at Minneapolis, Lee, from midnight till 6 a.m. No bed, no chair, no nothing. Sat down, might have slept for 30 minutes. No stores open, couldn't get a paper, couldn't get a cup of coffee, no hotel rooms available, and didn't even get a voucher from Delta. Thank you, Delta. Now, I have my own problems with JetBlue last summer, Lee, if you remember. They canceled me, said it was weather-related. I said, no, it's not. My brother's already in New York. I'm in Tampa. weather in Tampa's great. Weather in New York's great. What do you mean it's weather-related? Eh, you're not getting a dime, Ira. Forget about it. So my brother's okay. He's in a hotel room in Washington, D.C., but it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. And speaking of nightmares, let's talk about the Bucks record, Mr. DeKemper.
I got one question before you start, Ira.
All right.
What's a paper?
Oh, geez, Lee. You know, you should be embarrassed to say it, Lee. It kills you to say it. You're a paper
guy. No, I live in 2022.
You know, you got a great point. Because when I go through an airport and I go into one of those Hudson News places, and you know, they got 85 different magazines, Men's Health, Kate Upton on the cover of four different ones, which I like to browse through.
some books.
And then, I swear, Lee, I'm not making this up. I inevitably go up to the cashier and say, you got any newspapers? And most of the time they say no. Absolutely not. You got to go to gate 27. There's one place that might have a New York Times. Boy, has things changed, Lee. Boy, and not for the better. I miss my paper with a cup of coffee in the morning. I do.
Well, I always have my quote-unquote paper with my coffee in the morning. It's called reading it online. I know I always hear people, oh, I miss having that broadsheet. Like, I don't. You get ankle over your fingers. You got to wrestle with the paper. Hell with that.
I'm old school, DeKemper. I'm old school.
When you said paper and coffee, I thought you were sitting on the toilet for a minute. I got confused.
Steve, keep this on a high plane, Isbert.
All right, high plane, Ira. So this is ironic that you brought this up. And again, like we've said before, there is no advanced meeting for the podcast. But, you know, Bruce Arians talked to TampaBay.com for a story on Wednesday. And I wrote that up and I had some clown email me saying, how dare you not call it the Tampa Bay Times? It's disrespectful, TampaBay.com. I wrote back to the guy. I said, look, it was on TampaBay.com. I don't know if the story ever appeared in the actual newspaper. So who am I to say that it did? I don't know. Sometimes something shows up online and then 3 days later, it's in the actual hard copy newspaper. They only print twice a week.
That's right.
So get off my back, man.
By the way, FYI, if the Tampa Bay Times would be so appalled that someone referenced their URL as opposed to the newspaper, they could sure as hell register a URL, TampaBayTimes.com.
There you go.
You did nothing wrong. No, I know. And this was one of our readers, listeners. Now, I only called him a clown because he wrote... when he wrote back to me, he said, well, I guess I'm a clown. So I'm
You sure that guy's name wasn't Paul Tesh, Steve?
Absolutely. Okay. So Arians talked to TampaBay.com talking about, hey, things are good at $1. We're turning the corner and good things can still happen. And, you know, all that rah-rah stuff. And he's not wrong. You know, they can still win the division and then the records go out the window and you never know. And of course, if they win the division, they're probably doing something right a little bit down the stretch, et cetera, et cetera. But what he said in there, Ira, which shocked the world a little bit, he talked about, hey, Brady's played well. He played really good the first half against the Bengals. Quote, we got our shots downfield. We looked like us. The first half was the first time I've seen this year when Byron Leftwich said, quote, screw it. I'm going back to being me. This was a game Mike Evans should have had 200 yards. Ira, if Arians is saying Leftwich finally said, screw it, I'm being me, going back to being me, then who's in charge of this offense and what are we supposed to make of what Arians just said there?
Lee, this thing's more convoluted than a John Grisham novel. I mean,
who's it?
Lee, who's in charge of this offense? I mean, who was restraining Byron Leftwich? Was it Todd Bowles? Was it Tom Brady? Obviously, Arians doesn't think it's Bruce Arians. Was it little Clyde Christensen that was putting the dampers on what the Leftwich wants to do? I am so confused about this offense, but I'm not confused about one thing. It's a lousy offense. And the proof is the end zone. They can't reach it. First half, absolutely great. Both sides of the ball, great. That's the Bucks that we've been expecting. That's the Bucks we've seen for much of the past two seasons and very little of this season. Lee, as far as I'm going to be me, I'm taking the chains off. I wish there was a follow-up question. Who is putting a restraining order on Byron Leftwich? That's what I would ask.
Smells like the head coach. If you add up what Todd Bowles has said over a period of 6 months or so, you know, if Brady was running the offense like some think he is, he would have said, he would just blown off Leftwich. Like, no, I'm not calling that. You know, he would audible. And so I don't think it was Brady. You know, Todd Bowles has been fairly open, at least before the season he was, that he didn't want to run the no risk it, no biscuit offense. He kept saying because he thought it wore out the entire team. I quibble with that comment. But did he say that on your podcast, Ira, that he didn't want to run no risk it, no biscuit? He certainly told Father Dungy that. And Father Dungy relayed that on NBC football telecast. I believe it was the Bucks telecast. And he's gone on Twitter, Father Dungy, and mentioned the same thing. So I think the logical conclusion is Bowles. And what intrigues me about this whole thing, Arians is throwing his lifelong friend under the bus.
Another thing that Todd Bowles emphasized as soon as he got the job was he's not going to be the offensive coordinator. He's not. He's going to focus on his side of the ball, make the defensive signal calls, and let Byron Leftwich do what he does.
You're missing all kinds of nuance there, Ira. There's all kinds of nuance you're missing. You don't have to be the offensive coordinator to tell the offensive coordinator, this is what I want you to do. He doesn't have to call the plays. And I flash back to Lovie Smith and Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter was an Eric Coryell kind of guy. And when the Bucks hired him specifically to develop Jameis, and Dirk Cutter admitted this in a press conference. Dirk Cutter said, Lovie wants to run the ball. Now, Lovie wasn't calling the plays, of course, but he told Cutter, I want a running game. I want you to run the ball. And Cutter, to his credit, crafted one of the better running offenses the Bucks have had this century. Leftwich hasn't been able to do that.
Well, Lee, you're missing one point. If Bowles, like Lovie Smith, wanted to emphasize a running game, the Bucks aren't doing it. They're throwing the ball 68% of the time. So there's no emphasis on a running game.
I guarantee you I know what you're going to say in response to this. They can't run the ball. They want to run the ball, but they can't run the ball. Again, Todd Bowles' philosophy, not saying his fingers as far as play calls, his philosophy, I believe, is all over this offense. And I don't blame the Bucks for throwing the ball all the time because they can't run. And my personal philosophy is, what sense does it make to keep beating your head up against the wall if it doesn't work?
Steve, I have trouble imagining that Todd Bowles is directing, either directly or indirectly, Byron Leftwich to not throw the ball past the sticks. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, Steve. That doesn't make any sense.
Makes sense to me, but maybe I'm crazy. But by the way, Ira, Joe Bannon wrote a column where he took Bowles to task. And he wrote in that column, head coaches have much more influence on coordinators than most fans ever think of. That's Joe Banner, a GM.
Well, whatever he told Byron Leftwich, it should have been apparent after about week six that it's not working. It's not working. And it's still not working. I mean, they scored a cheap touchdown last week, although they would have got 17 points again. Once again. So let's remember that. Any way you slice it, Byron Leftwich has the title. And Byron Leftwich has to take the responsibility for an inept offense, in my opinion.
Ira, do you believe Bruce Arians? Do you believe that was an honest statement that Byron said, screw it, I'm going back to being me? Do you believe that?
I've been around Coach Arians a lot, Lee, as you have. He pushes it a little bit. He pushes it. He does. He pushes it downfield as a play caller. And he pushes it a little bit when he's, talking to you. I'll give you an example, Lee. Lee, when I got to Palm Beach and Steve was with me down there, and we got to the Breakers, and it was a Sunday late afternoon for the NFL meetings, and I looked around and I said to the Buck PR guy, hey, Arians around? I want, I like to spend a couple of minutes with Coach. He's not here. He went back to Tampa. That's what I was told. He's not here. He was here, and he's gone back to Tampa. Well, What do? I text Arians. What the heck are you doing back in Tampa? It's the NFL meetings. You're supposed to talk on Monday or Tuesday. He said he wasn't feeling well. He didn't tell me that he was stepping down. He didn't tell me he was going to be a special advisor to Jason Light. You know, when he doesn't want to answer something, he doesn't answer it. Sometimes he pushes it. I thought he pushed it a little bit when he told me that Brady was playing bad. I thought that was pushing it a little. I would have said Brady wasn't playing particularly well. I think that would have been accurate. So I don't take Bruce Arians literally 100% of the time, Steve.
I know that you don't, Ira. And, you know, I know you've said that he's more honest than most head coaches are, and that doesn't say a lot. But so that's why I wanted to get your perspective on whether, you know, this was in the percentage of comments that may not be true, but maybe it is. I don't know. The whole thing is just nuts. When everybody's
wild comment,
everybody's passing the buck, and Arians is smart. So he knows what a comment like that is going to trigger. And it's just wacky as hell. I will say this, Ira, which I think is even more interesting, not more interesting, but a next level of thought with this whole Leftwich thing. You know, the Buccaneers release that Hard Knocks series that they do in-house is kind of sanitized and, you know, not very controversial, but in the current. And I watched the whole thing to see what I found in there. You know, they got special camera angles and the sideline footage that nobody else gets to see. And Brady's mic'd up for a lot of it. And he's hugging Byron Leftwich. And he initiates the hug three times. I love you. I love you, baby. I love you. To Byron. literally in his ear. I love you. I love you. I love you. After a game. And it's like, you know, obviously there's business and personal relationships and stuff. He may be like, I love you to death, but I don't want you as my coordinator. But I don't think there's a big relationship problem there.
Well, I don't necessarily think there is. But I know Brady's got to be frustrated beyond belief. Lee, I mean, I don't care that they're in first place in terms of what I'm about to say. Brady's 6-8. He started all 14 games. He takes every damn snap except one throw by Leonard Fournette. And they're 6-8. This is a guy with a remarkable winning percentage. It's remarkable in the regular season. It's remarkable in the postseason. And he's 6-8. And it's not like they've played a killer schedule, Lee. You and I have talked about it. Absolutely not. And that extends to Christmas night in Arizona against one of the worst teams in the league. Terrible team, Arizona. And they're 6-8. So John Gruden, God bless him, used to say, love your man all the time. It became a joke. And I wouldn't read too much into I love Byron Leftwich. If he loves him, it's because Byron Leftwich stands by him publicly, will never criticize Tom Brady. Never. If you're ever going to do it, Lee, it would have been this week. We got to have ball control. We got to protect the football. And I didn't hear any of that from Byron Leftwich. So, you know, he's got Brady's back. I wish he had Brady's front. And I wish this damn team could score some more points.
Well, Ira, once or twice, in reference to Brady's four turnovers, I used a one-liner. Jameis never did that. And I was very shocked that I got little to no flack about that.
Well, there is a sense, I wouldn't say people are turning on Brady, but I don't think it's a cardinal sin to raise some questions about Brady. Is it because he's 45? We don't know that for a fact. What we know is Stevie's averaging like 6.2 yards. I don't want to get too technical, Steve, per pass attempt. Steve, that's near the bottom of the league. Steve, I think it's next to last.
I was going to whip out something like EPA or some real, real, real. You had to do some digging. Oh, it's the average. Well, I don't want to get too technical.
Lee, that's it's a very telling stat. It's a pretty good metric. And I think Brady might be next to last in the league. It's just inexplicable. It's not because he's getting sacked a lot.
Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration is there for our listeners 24/7. That means if you have a disaster in your home, you call them 24/7. Go to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. They will respond and they'll arrange with you to come out and assess the property free of charge, so you know exactly what's happening, exactly what you need to do, and they'll assist you with your insurance company if you need it. It's a great service. They're the best in the business. floridaseliterestoration.com. cold weather, pipes burst, it happens. All kinds of storm damage is always a potential issue. Mold, FloridasElitereStoration.com. That's your first phone call. When you call, tell them Ira sent you or Joe Bucks fan. That's going to qualify you for $500 off if you need their services after the free assessment. That maybe that's $500 for your deductible or just $500 cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration. Put it in your bookmarks, check out their website, and then you know where to go when that problem happens because you have to attack it immediately. Let me throw you this, Ira, just for your comment. I know you love the guy. I know you voted for him for All Pro, and we know he's a legit Pro Bowler. But in the context of the team is what I'm really looking for your response. Tristan Wirfs named to his second Pro Bowl, and that's the only Buccaneer named. And they got alternates listed for the Bucs: Vita Vea, Ryan Succop, Devin White, Shaq Mason, Tom Brady, Antoine Winfield. One Pro Bowler. What do you say about that, Ira? The way the voting breaks down is the way it always did. One-third fan vote, one-third coaches vote, one-third player vote. This year there's no game. It's just some sort of skills competition kind of thing. So I'm not sure that you'll have a lot of guys backing out on that because they don't have to suit up and play and all that.
Two-word response. Absolutely fair. Now, Lee, to be fair, there might be a player or two. I'm thinking of Antoine Winfield, who, if he hadn't gotten hurt, I think would have been a contender as a Pro Bowl safety. I really like Winfield. So do you, Lee. Very good player. Yeah. We don't know what would have happened to Shaq Barrett. It's too much conjecture. I have absolutely no problem with one Buccaneer being a Pro Bowler. And I'm glad Wirfs has been recognized, even though he's missed, I think it's three games. Sometimes that hurts you. Right around the voting. You know how I feel about Wirfs. I think he's a generational tackle.
Yeah.
I think when Trent Williams calls it a day, the left tackle in San Fran, I think Wirfs is going to be recognized, I think, as the premier tackle in the National Football League. What a draft pick by Light. You could say he fell into his arms. Well, you could say whatever you want. Light drafted him. It was one hell of a draft pick. Brady can't believe how good this guy is. Brady can't believe how rare it is, Lee, and it is rare, to see not even a sack around him, but it's just a guy to get around him. You never see it, Lee. I watch him constantly. His technique is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I know how great Anthony Munoz is. He can't be too much better than Wirfs. Maybe a little better.
Whoa, that's a significant statement.
The guy is a fantastic player. Anyway, answer Steve's thing. One Buccaneer in the Pro Bowl. Absolutely fair.
But here's something I'll ask Steve. Ira and I were talking about this the other night. You know, Steve, I've written this several times, and a couple days ago I had a epiphany, I guess you could say. I kept writing when I was, you know, what's going on with the Bucs, what's going on with the coaching. You know, name someone on defense that's improved. And my answer was, there isn't anybody. Then I got to thinking about this, and like, you know what? Antoine Winfield was given more responsibilities this year, and he stepped up with that. So I think you can make an argument Antoine Winfield actually improved this year. But yeah, he's missed quite a few games because he's been injured, but he was given that nickel corner position, and he played it well. So I would think he actually improved this year.
We were talking about Jamel Dean, too, Lee. Jamel Dean.
Yeah, and Jamel Dean did. Yes, yes, you're right. Jamel Dean had a very good year. I read this from the Pro Football Frauds. This is one of the stats where I give them credit for that. When you look at pass completion percentage, if you break it down by cornerbacks, you know, when the cornerbacks are targeted, how many completions do they allow? Jamel Dean has the fifth best in the league.
Outstanding.
I would throw Vita Vea in there as well. I mean, we often talk about it being a production league. Vea's got 6.5 sacks. Last year he had 4. He's got the same amount of quarterback hits. He's on a better pace there because he's missed a few games, more tackles for loss. So his production has been better.
Now, Steve, along those lines, we got to be fair on this program. I'll name you a guy that the Bucs needed to improve, and he did. I think he flatlined, and that's Joe Tryon, Shirinka. He flatlined.
You know, I was going to ask you about that, Ira, because Todd Bowles the other day, he was asked about the two young linemen, Joe Tryon and Logan Hall, and he stuck up for him, it seemed like to me. And I absolutely agree with you about Joe Tryon. He's not improved this year. I love the guy, but he's not improved. And Logan Hall, I mean, he's been a milk cart in the past month or so. And I want your reaction to that, Ira, that those two, the Bucks need those guys to step up, or at least Logan Hall to progress. Logan Hall has regressed. Logan Hall has had his snap counts sliced. And I don't know, man. I think there are some valid questions about those two.
I don't think it's anything more, Steve, than a head coach trying to keep the confidence of a young player who might be struggling. They're not going to take a pot shot at the guy. Maybe nor should they. But we see what we see, Steve. We see what we see. And Logan Hall, they could use a little impact from Logan Hall, Steve, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it.
Yeah, the try and try Inca thing, the only thing that bugs me with him is that you'll hear Todd Bowles say, oh, our rookies, by the end of the year, 12 games in, they're not rookies anymore. He says that many times. But when it comes to Trajan Soyinka, you'll hear Larry Foote and you'll hear Todd Bowles talk about, oh, he's still learning the game and he's, developing, he's learning. Hey, man, he's a second-year player. Trajan Soyinka played every snap in the last game, every snap, and he has played a ton of snaps this year and been super durable. He's got a lot of experience at this point, and I get that he's not very good against the run, but I'm not sure he's getting much better, and he's just not a very refined player. Now, it may take him time, but this is a first-round pick, and we were told that aside from the expectations of him as a first-round pick, when he got here, they were saying, oh, he's going to make a big impact on special teams, and Arians was saying he could play safety if he had to. This guy's an incredible athlete. I don't think he's done any of those things.
We had every expectation in August that, JTS would finish maybe with 8 or 9 sacks. Well, we're not talking about 13 or 14, but 8 or 9, we knew he was going to play a lot. And, Lee, without Shaq Barrett, it's accentuated even more that he needs to develop, and it hasn't happened. And it's hurting the team right now, Lee. It's hurting his defense.
I totally agree, Ira. The Bucks are in crunch time, and the way the Bucks have played the last couple weeks, I have no confidence they're going to win the division. I'm sorry to say that. But I don't. I don't have any confidence. I said on your podcast last week, Ira, I predict the Bucks to go 1-3 to finish the season. The Bucks need these guys to contribute, to produce. They need them now. They don't need them next summer in training camp. They need them now. And where are they? And so I think you're absolutely correct, Ira.
Hey, Ira, I'm dying to ask you this question, and now's the time because it just fits so perfectly into what Lee just mentioned. Now, I believe, Ira, that the Bucks are going to win their next 3 games. I think they're better than all 3 teams, and those teams are so bad, they might be tanking, and the Bucks are getting at least a little healthier. I think that they'll do it. And I bring that up not because I'm challenging Lee, but because my question for you is, if the Bucks clinch, which they could do after the Carolina game, if they win this week and Carolina loses to the Lions, the Bucks could clinch the whole damn thing after week 17. I want to ask you, Ira, should they start Kyle Trask in week 18? I would like to see it. I don't think Brady needs to be out there or any of these older guys who might need to freshen up. They don't need to be on the Falcons turf against a rival who might be looking for some cheap shots and not too happy. Do you put Kyle Trask out there for week 18? I think you do. What do you think of this whole premise, Ira?
Lee, I think it's a damn no-brainer. Should they wrap it up, get the number 4 seed, they can't improve, they can't go down, they can't miss the playoffs, they can't go up to 3. It's a damn no-brainer. Brady must sit in Atlanta. Brady must sit. Nothing gained. He's thrown more balls, Lee, more balls than anybody. Do we really need, Brady in a meaningless game to get more action? I think it's a no-brainer, Lee.
I don't disagree. Now, I do remember, or do know that this, I believe it was this week, if not this week, certainly last week, Kyle Shanahan said the biggest mistake football coaches make is sitting veteran players after they've clinched the division or clinched home field or whatever. And I just thought that was interesting. A guy like Kyle, he learned football from. And I just thought that was an interesting comment. And I don't know if there's a correct answer. I'm like you, Ira. I would sit Brady. I would sit guys, I would sit the veterans. Give them another break. What do you got to lose? But there's a thought out there with some very respected coaches that, no, you don't do that. And, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know what the right answer is. But I lean toward what you guys say, sit Brady. But there's a different line of thinking with some very respectable coaches. So I don't know there is a correct answer. I really don't.
Steve, one more quick point. People have sat down quarterbacks. Steve, this season in particular has been a damn grind for this team. You got to remember that, the grind.
Yeah.
It's not like they got off to a 10-2 start and coasted. This is a damn grind mentally, Steve, as well as physically. Why not give Brady a break in week 18 and try to get him fresh for what looks like the Dallas Cowboys? Steve, let's hope this is a scenario. I mean, this is a dream scenario for Buck fans. Right now, they're wondering if the team's going to make the playoffs. And by the way, Steve Wilks, this is a memo to Steve Wilks, Lee. You just lost any chance to coach the Panthers, if you ever had a chance. And I don't think he really did. But if he did, now he has no chance. You can't lose at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers with a chance to deadlock the Bucks at 6-8 and make it a meaningful January 1st game for the division lead, perhaps. Wilks just ended any chance he could coach the Panthers.
Oh, Ira, that's not a very nice thing to say about your buddy Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin's got nothing, Lee. He's got nothing to work with.
He's got enough to beat the Bucks.
And, Lee, you know what he's got? He's got professional pride, and he put off his first losing season. It's probably going to happen. But he put it off for at least another week. They're still playing hard, Pittsburgh. Steve, you're right about the Panthers. They stink, and they proved it last week.
Hey, who do you think is more likely to quit this weekend, Ira? Saturday, Saints at the Browns, kickoff temperature, negative 11 degrees, or Falcons at the Ravens, now looking at negative 5 kickoff temperature. Who's more likely to quit?
Falcons. Ooh. Steve, I'm not sure the Saints have their first round pick. I don't think they do.
They don't.
Lee, the Falcons need a quarterback. They need one in the worst way. By the way, so does the Saints. So do the Saints. But the Falcons have to get a quarterback, Lee. I mean, they have to. This guy they trotted out last week, he was awful.
He's a third round pick. Guy from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
As Steve so eloquently twittered, they set up a Hail Mary for him and he runs out of bounds.
Yeah. I had to rewind that while I was watching. I was like, did he just do that?
I was a little shocked. I was very shocked in midseason because I said in August when we were doing our picks in the division, I said, yeah, Atlanta's a 5-12 team. Nah, that's just it. They're 5-12. Then all of a sudden, Lee, with Mariota, was making some plays. The defense was making some plays. They were pulling games out of their butt. And they lost a couple of tough games, too. And, Lee, before you know it, you know, they're like 500 in the middle of the season. I was shocked. And now they're where they belong. And you know what? They might finish 5-12.
Seems like Artie Smith, he's got those players playing hard for him.
He does. But their lack of talent has shown now, Lee. Okay. It's shown.
Call Rich McKay, Iris. Say, look, McKay, I need to know.
The Falcons have to get a quarterback. I don't know what the Saints are doing, but they need one. And so does Carolina. And you know what, Lee? The Bucs might need one, too.
Yeah.
What makes it very interesting, Ira, as far as it relates to the Bucs and their three-game finish here, and I referenced the tanking, the benefit of the NFC South is right now you've got Atlanta and Carolina tied at 5-9 with New Orleans. Now, New Orleans' first-round pick goes to the Eagles, so they don't even have a first-round pick, like you said. But right now, Atlanta and Carolina, they're jockeying with each other, so they have even more incentive to tank. They're sitting at the number 7 and 8 pick. And nobody would be surprised if Tepper says, we're not beating the Bucks. I don't give a crap. And same thing in Atlanta. They know what they're doing. They understand the value of what this could be if they can somehow get to the number 3 or 4 pick.
You're absolutely right. I thought this was a tank year for the Falcons right from the get-go. And then they shocked the hell out of me by being very competitively for, maybe half a season. And the wheels came off, and they did. They've had a few injuries, like every team. Mariota bottomed out, started playing like Mariota, rightly. hey, when they played the Bucs, they showed a lot of fight, Lee, in that fourth quarter. But something's gone really wrong for the Falcons. They've come back to earth. Steve's right. This David Tepper, I'm not sure he really wants the Panthers to win. I think he's thinking, what's the point? We got to draft a quarterback. Let's give ourselves the best chance. That puts the coach in a very awkward position. Lovie Smith didn't look awkwardly. He was only too happy to tank at the end of that season. And he did so with relish.
And Sage, so we go to Arizona on Christmas night. Arizona's 4-10. They're currently tied with two other teams, which puts them in the third, fourth, or fifth pick in the draft. So they don't want to win. Their GM just disappeared, Steve Keim, Jason Light's buddy. Right. Nobody knows exactly what the truth is there, but obviously some sort of overhaul is coming, and ownership doesn't want to beat the Bucs with Trace McSorley.
And the coach could be history.
So the Bucs really have a gift wrapped to them, three teams that may not be trying to win. And if they still lose, you know, that's quite an indictment of the current administration. What are you looking for in this game? We won't give our picks yet, but what are you looking for on Sunday night? What do you want to see from the Bucs to maybe convince you they can do something?
If they were playing any other team, almost any other team, maybe you could throw the Houston Texans in the mix. Lee, if they were playing any other team, the Jets, the Giants, even maybe Denver, because Denver's got a good defense. Lee, if the Bucs were playing any better team than the deplorable Arizona Cardinals, I would tend to say the Bucs are going to lose on Christmas night. I think Steve's got a point. They're playing Arizona. They're playing Carolina. They're playing Atlanta. You know, the Arizona Cardinals are just terrible. Lee, they're just terrible. I mean, James Conner, is that a feature back? He's okay.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins is walking around saying, do I have anybody to throw me the ball? Lee, can anybody get me the football? The defense is, you know, okay. Not many playmakers there. The coach looks like a lame duck. It's a disaster. Lee, the Bucs on the road, not very good. Not very good the last four games. Terrible. I've got blasted on the road. To Steve's point, they might win these last three games. Lee, I feel a lot better if they're above 500 rather than under 500 with Tom Brady. I think it makes a difference.
The reason why I said they'd go 1-3 is they should have beat Carolina. And Carolina stomped. There's no way they're going to beat the Bengals. They didn't beat the Bengals. And I said weeks ago that if it comes down to the last game of the season and the Bucs need to win in Atlanta, they're going to lose. And you know it better than I do. You were in the Falcons locker room. That team was so peeved how that game ended. I just got to believe after that game, when they got back to Atlanta, they just can't wait to play the Bucs again. They were looking for that last game of the year so they can get revenge on the Bucs. And the Bucs haven't given me a reason to be confident. They simply have not. You just can't give someone confidence, you know, out of thin air. You got to, you know, it's the old term about respect. You earn respect. You don't give respect. Right now, the Bucs haven't earned any confidence in me. I think they'll beat the Cardinals, but, you know, here comes the ghost of backup quarterback's pass. McSorley, I mean, when that guy was in college, basically his only thing was he'd heave the ball, he'd throw rainbow passes, he'd heave the ball and hope Chris Godwin ran under it and got it.
By the way, happy holidays to our thousands of listeners from Guam to Temple Terrace. A lot of people think if the Cowboys play the Bucs on January 14th or 15th or whatever, some people think the Cowboys are going to choke. Steve?
I'll give you a specific name that has gone on record that said if the Bucs play the Cowboys, the Bucs will win. Warren Sapp.
And Sapp is after, he's a realist, and he knows this Buck team. He knows they're not very good. I'm not sure Sapp's wrong about that, Steve. I'm not sure.
Sapp said the reason why the Bucs will win is because the Cowboys can't stop the run.
Well, wait a minute. The Bucs can't run.
I know.
A couple of things, Ira. You remember Dan Bickley?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, Dan Bickley's a big name in Arizona sports media now. I think he does a fantastic job, one of the better guys in the country. He's on radio. I'm not sure if he's writing anymore, you know, longtime writer, but he writes for their station website out there. That's a big deal. I'm just going to read you a quick lead that he wrote this week. The Cardinals are in a dark place. Extreme dysfunction in 2022 has resulted in one of the worst seasons in franchise history. A cultural overhaul is long overdue. And then he goes on to say that GM Steve Keim stepping down, while it may sound crass, it's the biggest move, and he was the biggest threat to competitive play in Arizona. So it's a good situation that maybe they can lose here and move forward with a new guy.
Bickley is strong. Steve's right, Lee. A little bit of kick in Keim when he was down. I wish Bickley would write a column like that while Keim was still at the controls. But I understand his point. Lee, I've said this a million times, and it was true about the Bucs until about 3 years ago. You cannot, in the National Football League, overcome a series of bad drafts. You can't do it.
It'll bite you after a while.
You just can't do it from a money standpoint. The young players under that first contract help you with the salary cap. They're pushing the veterans. Lee, you have two or three bad drafts in a row, you're toast. Jason Light's last draft right now, well, it's too early to tell. Doesn't look like his draft of 2018, I'll tell you that. But you
Which
put
draft
two
are you referring to, 2022 draft?
Yeah, the 2022 draft.
They got some nice players, but I don't know if they have any difference makers.
And that's what's happened in Arizona, Steve. Bad, bad drafting.
Hey, Sage, you cut me off. I wanted to get to the money line. Bickley wrote, since the departure of Bruce Arians, the Cardinals have been sorely lacking direction, definition, and leadership. There seems to be no philosophy, no identity, and no long-term plan in place. You know, you could almost say, and it's too early and too unfair to say it, but I hope that you can't say the same sentence about the Bucs at the end of this season, Ira.
Wow, Steve. I mean, Arians has been gone for 5 years from Arizona. 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2017 was his last season there. That's a long time. You know, they looked like they were going to be okay, Lee, with Kyler Murray for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and then I forgot this guy. They called him a Swiss Army knife on defense, Steve, first-round pick.
Oh, Simmons?
Yeah.
He is talented.
He's talented, but I don't see him making plays, Lee. I don't see him making plays.
And I have to say, because I got to hear Lee's reaction, just because it's too much fun. You know, given what's going on in Arizona – and the overhaul there, and Arians is incredibly tight with Bidwell, and we know what Arians thinks of Leftwich, and we know about Arians' recent comment that we started this podcast with. Do you think Arians, who's going out to Arizona early on this trip here to visit his grandkids, that's what was reported in the TampaBay.com, and his son lives out there, and he still has his active charity out there. His foundation still does great work out there and very active. You think he says to Bidwell, hey, I'll come out here and I'll coach for a year. I'll mentor Byron. We'll be co-head coaches or something. And, you know, let's get this party started. We'll fix this place.
You know, Steve, you're half right. You're half right. Lee, I don't think he'll coach again. I don't think he will. But, Lee, I wouldn't be shocked if he might be interested in the rehabilitation of the Arizona Cardinals from a personnel standpoint. Maybe he's interested in being a general manager, Lee. We don't know. I think head coach takes too much of a toll, Lee, for Bruce Arians at this point. And, Lee, if the Glazers blow this thing up, I could see Arians moving on along with Tom Brady. And I think Bowles stays.
I really don't know what to think as far as what Bowles will do and Brady will do. I hate to say this because I like Bowles, but if Brady goes to Brian Glazer or Joel Glazer and says, it's me or Todd, I think we all know what the decision will be.
Well, I don't know if Brady's inclined to do something like that. I don't know that.
I don't think so either, but if he went to Joe Glazer, said, Brian, I'd love to play for you again, but it's the way we're going, I can't do it. And I'm sure the next question would be, well, Tom, what do you want?
All right, Ira, look, it's time for you to throw your picks out there. And, of course, we know what happened last week. We all got it right. Bucks at Arizona. You want to go first, Ira? You want to go last? What are you looking at?
I'll go first. I've been picking against the Bucks, against the Bucks, against the Bucks. Lee, Arizona's so bad, I can't go there. I can't. I know it's a road game. The Bucks opened the season with two road wins, Lee, and then they've lost their last four, a lot of times by big margins. I'm going with the Bucks, Lee, mostly because I just can't imagine them losing to one of the worst teams in football right now. They're dysfunctional. That's a good word. They stink, Lee. Arizona has nothing. I'm going to go with the Bucks, 24-14.
Real quick, before I give my pick, the Leftwich, I know, to use the phrase that I thought was great with Steve and Tom Brady, Steve's grand plan about Arians guiding Leftwich back to Arizona. Let's remember the Arizona fired Leftwich about 3 years ago. So let's in part because of how he developed a first pick quarterback. So let's keep that in mind. At any rate, I have no confidence in the Bucks because, again, they don't give me any confidence. I hope the Bucks will win. There's a difference between think and hope. I hope the Bucks win. They will play down to the level of the Cardinals. No matter that the Cardinals have no defense at all, no matter the Cardinals have a gimmick quarterback in Trace McSorley, I hope the Bucks win. And if they do, I will say it will be 1917 Bucks.
Wait a minute. You said you hope they win. Do you think they will win?
I wouldn't put money on it.
But you just picked them. Okay.
Remember I said they were going to go 1-3. This would be their lone win.
Okay.
But I have no confidence they'll beat them. And it pains me to say that, but I have zero confidence. After every lousy team they play, they get beat by. They always find a way to lose, to play down to their opponent. They should win this game. I wouldn't bet a nickel they win this game.
Steve, you're going to make it a trifecta, or are you going to be a lone voice of dissent?
Well, I'll say this. When the Bucks faced Brock Purdy, he was coming off an excellent performance, and other quarterbacks they faced have come off, good performances, young quarterbacks. I watched McSorley play last week in that game. He was awful. Awful. So and he's not a first-year rookie. He's, fourth-year guy, I think. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to pass on him being able to do anything. I will say, Arizona's defense, they have some playmakers. They've got Pro Bowler and Baker and now J.J. Watt's coming off a 3-sack game. And, they can do some things. They've let up a lot of points, but they do have some strengths for sure on the defense statistically. And so I'm just going to put the Bucks at 24-10 and leave it at that, Ira.
None of us are very enthusiastic, Steve.
I'm enthusiastic. I think they're going to win 24-10. That's a damn good game there, Ira.
But, Steve, you're basing it a lot on just a terrible quarterback for the opposition.
Well, I think the Bucks will be okay. I think they'll move the ball a little bit and a terrible quarterback, and that helps. It's time for them to get some of those breaks, some of those short fields that make you look really good when you're not necessarily very good, Ira.
Steve, maybe you're right, Steve. Maybe the Bucks close with 3 wins. Crawl above 500, build a little momentum. Boy, this podcast would sure take a different tone, Lee. We'd welcome that.
It would be a beautiful,
sure would.
It would be a beautiful thing, Ira. Look, before we head out, Sage, anything that stood out from you from Tom Brady or Leftwich Thursday?
I could have said this for the last 6 weeks, Lee. I'm tired of hearing the word execution. I'm tired of hearing it, Lee. You use that when you got nothing else to say. You use that instead of saying we're undisciplined. You use that instead of saying we're a dumb football team. Use that when you say we don't hustle. Use that when you don't want to say we're lazy. We don't execute. Why not? Why not, Lee? So I'm not shocked by anything Brady says at the podium at this point. To me, the big story of the week was that Mike Evans bought some contraptions for all of his teammates.
Contraptions? The segues?
Maybe they can use that to motor out of town after this debacle of a season. They're 6-8, Lee. Tom Brady's taking every snap. I got nothing more to say.
Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football, he has a weekly segment, something that is said a lot in NFL circles that he's sick of. And this week it was just like we drew it up. But I'll tell you what mine is. It's specifically related to the Bucks, and it was Mike Smith's favorite catch-all response. He always said this, but as Steve and I found out, it was absolutely true. When Mike Smith always complained about communication on defense, well, that's because the guy that was calling the defensive plays, the rest of the team couldn't understand him. So it literally was communication. It was no BS. That was communication. But I'm sick of all these guys talking about communication. If they can't speak with one another, They need to bring their cell phones out on the field and have Google Translate app on their phone.
That's a good one, Lee.
Either that or learn sign language. I am so sick of that generic excuse, communication. Enough.
Steve, we got to execute communication. That's what we got to do. We got to execute it.
All right, Sage, we're out of here. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. Listen to Sean's podcast, The GM, Best in Class, JoeBucksFan.com, Draft Guru Sean Sullivan. That's out there at JoeBucksFan.com as well. Ira, enjoy your Christmas night. I know you have plans with, you always do. What's on the plate, Sage?
Everything's on the plate. You know, we go to one brother for Thanksgiving. We go to the other brother for Christmas. Lee, what's the common denominator? Food. One guy's a gourmet cook. The other guy smokes up a couple of turkeys with all the trimmings.
Oh.
If it's free, it's me, Lee. If it's free, it's me.